Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Estate planning can be really complex, both the actual task and the emotional dynamics that surround it. For farm families, it's often more so because there's a business involved and because the emotional ties to that business and to the land can be very, very strong. Elaine Fraze is a farm family transition expert. She has walked this path many, many times with her clients and has some, what she calls, easy ways to help you get your will done. We reached her on her farm near Boisvane, Manitoba. Hello there.
Great to see you, Bruce.
You have a storage container in your basement that is actually the casket you plan to use for your own funeral. I saw in your YouTube video, you called it Grandma's Jesus Box. How did that come to be? And that is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, it's all how you frame things, right? It's what mindset you have. So the story of the box is I had a dear friend, Ed, who died of cancer. And his last weekend on earth, his wife called and said, would you and Wes please come and just spend the weekend with us and take him back to the hospital, which we did as close friends. And it was a very special privilege to spend his last days with him. And then at his funeral, this beautiful whitewashed pine box appeared. But further to that, his grandchildren had also painted on the outside of it, Bruce, as part of their grieving process and saying goodbye to Grandpa. It was crafted by a local craftsman here from Boisvane, Manitoba. His name's Sheldon Dick. I paid $2,200 to have mine built. And quite frankly, I built it as a very expensive speaking prop initially. And then when I started telling people about it, they said, oh, Elaine, I know a woman who did that and let her grandchildren climb in it and put their storage toys in it. And she wanted them to get familiar with her casket so that when she passed, they would know that she had gone to meet Jesus in heaven. And it was okay because it was her Jesus box. So that's how that all came together. And it is, I have not let my grandchildren climb inside yet. I haven't asked their mom's permission. My grandchildren live 159 steps from my back door. But the point being, Bruce, is we all are going to die and we need to be prepared. And I think I also made a great investment because I think the price of my casket has now gone up.
Very smart. It's a twofer. Now, you and I are in the minority in that we are comfortable talking about death, talking about estate planning. What would you say made you comfortable talking about this in the first place? Was it always thus, or was there an evolution for you?
I think it's always been for me. I'm the oldest of five children. I grew up with a very direct mother of Irish descent, and I have had a lot of loss in my life, Bruce. So I buried my sister when she was 23 at the hands of a drunk driver. She died on the way back from my farm here in Boisvane back to Dugald, which is where I grew up, close to Winnipeg. I buried my mom at 65 of an asthma attack in the middle of harvest, which was a stress-induced disease, I think, because of the death of my sister. I had buried my father-in-law 10 months previous of a brain shrinking disease. And I've just had a lot of loss in my life that I've had to, and I've also got my certificate in palliative care. And because of my worldview as a Jesus follower, I don't see death as a bad thing because I have the hope of heaven. So in farm families, though, when we talk about death and coming to terms, people say, well, I'm just going to die and let my kids figure it out. And the reason I love your Moolala podcast so much is because you're always encouraging people to grab the bull by the horns and face the hard things. And I think that's maybe you and I have learned that in our journey. Mm-hmm. You and I are both adoptive parents. So I've also faced the loss of secondary infertility and, you know, just all these different losses. And so loss is not a bad thing, I don't think, if you learn from it. And how do you want to craft something better and create a better future hope for your family?
I'm the youngest of five, but also raised by a very strong mom. And I want to segue to some of the tips that you have to help people get started. And as a farm person, farm family expert, I love that your first tip is so darn practical, and it is time. in your calendar. So we'll talk about the emotional stuff and we'll get into all that. But you say, first and foremost, you need to put it in your calendar.
And that's how I'm living now. You can hear my phone dinging because people are messaging me. We're in the middle of our plant. So we're halfway to planting 5,000 acres. But my life is very full, Bruce, and I hate the word busy. So I say, yes, my life is full. But if I can put a 25-minute reminder on my phone, which in Italian is a Pomodoro, it's a kitchen timer. It's also called the Pomodoro technique. You can get a lot done in 25 minutes. And so I had my sister here recently, and I'm her executor of her estate. And we went through all her documents. We put everything into a digital folder, and then I have it, she has it, and then she also has her physical folder. And so blocking time on your Google Calendar is one of my most practical tips. Is this is the time I'm going to do that. And if you need a reward, give yourself a reward. But the reward will feel, it will be lightness. It'll be knowing that you've got your affairs in better order than they were yesterday.
You also acknowledge that there is some thinking required here. What are some of the big questions for people to think through?
First is how, in terms of thinking, I think you want to understand the organization of, say, your power of attorney and your will. So a will is not a succession plan. And much of the work I do is around transition and passing on, changing labor management and ownership of a business, which is a farm business. But on the will side, power of attorney is really important. And our family, my husband has had 3 accidents in his pickup truck. He's a very good driver, but stuff happens when you've been farming for over 40 years. So we traveled to New Zealand to see my friend who's a farm family coach in New Zealand, spent a month in New Zealand. And we thought, you know, if we're driving on the wrong side of the road, we better have a power of attorney in case something happens to us while we're traveling. And so my son had that, and little did he know that he would have to invoke it when my husband had a very bad crash in 2017. So what you have to think about is what if. And so for people listening to this, what if somebody in your household does not die, but becomes incapacitated? And so that was very helpful for us to have in place. The other thing you have to think about is, who do you want to manage your estate? And I'm the oldest of 5, as we mentioned, but I also, when I discovered what my father's will said, he had my 2 siblings who lived in BC at the time as executors. And my brother and I, my farming brother and I, said, no, Dad, this is just way too complicated with out of province people. So he made a change and I became the sole executor because I had a good working relationship with my farming brother. And I also had an excellent lawyer. The other thing, Bruce, in terms of thinking, is my father's thinking was changing and he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And so as I saw that happening, I was able to consolidate all of his finances to 1 credit union. I was able to get all of his doctor's addresses, phone numbers, emails, et cetera, so that when I had to execute the death certificate or tell people that my father had passed, it was all done. And I didn't find that weird. I just found that practical, get yourself organized.
There is an additional challenge for farm families given the asset. The land is a huge, huge asset for farm families. How do families navigate that when there are a number of kids and maybe only one who is going to take on the farm?
They don't.
They don't navigate it.
It's
because... And then after the fact, they call you for coaching, hopefully, in the best case.
No. Or they're calling me as mom. I just got an email this week, Brent. Hello, Elaine. My mom is 94. I have 2 siblings that live in Calgary. I'm the farming daughter, dun, 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 dun. And I have a saying now, Bruce, I use quite often, that was then, this is now. So in our own scenario, I mentioned my father-in-law dying 10 months before my mom, and that was in October of 97. But in June of 1992, Wes and I purchased this farm from his parents, and his mom had purchased it from her dad in 1945. So we have a matriarchal farm system here, which is fine. But my mother-in-law was raised by a wicked stepmother, really not nice person. And so she had a very high value for fairness and for the women to also be considered. And so when she sold the farm to us with her husband, she made sure that the three farming, non-farming sisters all got a quarter section of land. But in 1992, Bruce, that was $67,000. I'm looking out my front office window right now at my neighbor's quarter section of land, which he would love to sell to me someday, maybe or maybe not, for $500,000, wow, or $440,000. So the question now we have in farm transition is, what does fairness look like to you? And so I never use the word equal because equal is no longer workable in division of assets. And so the word I use now is, what do you expect from us for an inheritance? And secondly, what do you need from us as parents to be successful? And I have parents that are horrified by that question, Bruce, because they'll say, well, it's none of my kids' business. I can do whatever I want with my assets. Well, yes, you can. And you can also create huge estrangement and family fragmentation by not explaining why you've made the decisions you've made, because a farm business needs access to land and ultimately equity in land in order to leverage debt. And that's the conversation that is totally different now than it was in 1992.
You used a phrase in a prior conversation we had, reflecting on the need or the interest or the want of many farmers to die in the dirt. That is a very different dynamic than the person who has a job as an educator, retires at a certain stage, and receives a defined benefit pension plan for the next couple of decades of their life. How does that need manifest when it comes to this question about estate planning?
So many different ways, but let's focus on the land because that's the big bull, what I call the undiscussable bull in the middle of the room. So my husband is 66. He had this crash. He still works many long hours during the busy times. But my friend Dick Whitman, who's a farm family consultant out of Idaho, has this great saying, and you can Google it and find his seminar. I would encourage listeners to do that. It's called Stepping Back Without Stepping Away. Because of the emotional attachment to land, farmers don't want to leave their land typically, but they are going to age in place on the farm. So really the question now becomes, Dad, Mom, what does a good day on this farm look like as you age in place? And a lot of farm families and farmers, Bruce, quite frankly, don't know the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. What do you want? Mom very quickly says, I don't want to live at Grand Central Station anymore. And then as a coach, I say, okay, she's given you her best 47 years. When is it her turn to get what she wants? And the guy just says, well, Elaine, you're so fired. And people think that's a joke, but that actually happened once. Right. Yeah. I asked that to a 72-year-old because his wife was just more than ready to transition to a new chapter. All of this being said, Dad and Mom can have a healthy role on the farm as they age in place, but there have to be clarity of expectation of those roles. And the other thing, Bruce, because you're the money guy with Moolala, is I want listeners just to look at a left-hand side. Just say a ledger, draw a line down the middle of your page. The left-hand side is all of your farm assets or business wealth, even if you're a tire shop guy listening to this. So all your business assets are on the left-hand side. That's awesome. Do you have a successor for your business? Yes, my daughter. Yes, my son. Yes, my next door neighbor. We're going into a joint venture of non-related parties. All good. But then you want to look on the right side, which is where you come in with the book, Moolala, Why Smart People Do Done Things With Their Money, because that's what farmers are not being smart about, is they don't have those defined pensions. So why don't they pay more attention on how they can get liquidity of income stream, not totally from the farm, but also from their personal wealth? And so in my case, I get $40,000 a year income from my farm, from the personal land that Wes and I own, that is a benefit to me because I rent it back to the Farm Corp. Mm-hmm. And when I say this to farmers, they go, well, I expect my daughter or my son to buy me out. I go, sure, $2 million they can. Mm-hmm. And 4% of 2 million is 80 grand. Can you live on 80 grand a year? No, I want 140 more, or I want 120 grand. Well, then there's a $40,000 gap, right, between what you want to live on and where your income stream is going to be based. So my map for family transition is really easy. Number one, what are your income streams going to be and where are they coming from? Number two, where are you going to live? Bruce, I got to stay in my house. I didn't have to move in 2020 as we planned. Yes. So I saved $500,000 because I didn't have to build a new house. My son did. And they're right across the shelter belt in a beautiful, new, very contemporary house, which people have different varying opinions on because it doesn't look like your typical house from the prairies. And then thirdly, what we've already touched on, which what does fairness look like to you and what do you need to be successful? Because again, Bruce, where is it written? I have always been wealthier than my parents and so has my property development brother. So he and I did not need anything from our parents' estate financially. What we needed was the emotional blessing of our parents.
So much to talk about, Elaine. I appreciate you joining us to get started.
Thanks, and I hope we can talk again.
Yes, please. Elaine Fraze was here to talk about your wills, the importance for every single Canadian, but in particular, her focus on farm families.